Well, schools and universities and childhood centres, early childhood centres, are waiting to find out when they can be fully operational again. The level 3 and 4 lockdown has claimed casualties in the education sector. The Early Childhood Council Chief Executive Peter Reynolds says 7 weeks of closure has taken a huge emotional and financial toll on some early learning centres. He says one operator phoned him in tears saying they won't be reopening. Mr Reynolds says even when centres can operate under level 2, attendance numbers will be slow to build up, and he predicts more centres will become unviable and close. Peter Reynolds is with us first. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what are you hearing from your members about their circumstances?
I think it's fair to say that as the Level 2 announcement came out last week about what life would look like, there's a general air of excitement. Everybody's keen to reopen their doors and try and attract back as many children and families as they can. But there'll be some that have struggled through this period. They're right teetering on the edge. So we're expecting that there may be a few more closures as a result, remembering that many childcare centres went into the whole COVID situation that we've experienced over the last few weeks, already struggling financially due to years of cutbacks from the government.
You've been surveying your members fairly regularly, actually. What are the main things coming out of that?
The main issues that have been coming out have been predominantly those that were answered by the government on Thursday and Friday, around, well, when can we reopen our doors? Is it safe to do so? What are the funding restrictions that are going to be there? What are the other restrictions like spacing and distancing and what have you? And a lot of that's been sort of signed off, which is great. It's good to be in that more confident position. What's left outstanding at the moment are issues around funding. The majority of the money that goes into early childhood education comes from government subsidies. The government has given an assurance to the sector of what will happen up until July this year, which is only a few weeks away, but no information about what's happening after that. So that's what we're waiting on at the moment, and they have promised some detail to us early this week, we hope.
At the moment, if there were to be the go-ahead to open next Monday, do you have any sense of what proportion of centres would open?
Not at the second. We're still collecting that data, but we're expecting that as many centres as possible will open. Our previous research for how many centres were likely to reopen under Level 3 indicated that around about 50%, maybe just a little bit more, somewhere closer to 52%, were hoping that they would open. We know that in reality it was somewhat less than 50%, because at the end of the day, a lot of children were simply not returning, and in many cases, staff weren't prepared to return because they didn't feel sufficiently safe enough under the conditions for Alert Level 3.
Do you believe that announcement then last Thursday changed things? Do you believe a higher proportion will open under Level 2 than had previously indicated that to you?
Yes, we do. We do. I think centres have been itching to get back to business. The difficulty will be how many children are likely to return, and that will still have an impact on whether services open or not. For an example, I was talking to a centre that is licensed for 50 children. They had rung all of their parents to see who was willing to come back and who wasn't. And out of the 52, two sets of parents were prepared to bring their kids back. So the question of viability is still a big one for a lot of services. They may be willing to open their doors, but they've got to get the children in the door to make it worthwhile.
How recently was that?
Example. That was just in the last week.
Goodness. Because the numbers, case numbers have been very low, haven't they, the past week?
Yes, the reported new case numbers.
Do you think there's still a bit of a lag in people perhaps reassessing where things are at?
I think part of the problem is that we've been fairly vocal in saying that there's insufficient information coming out of government sources around what is called carrier risk. And this is where children may contract the virus and pass it on to other kids or to adults. There is some evidence of that in New Zealand, not very much, admittedly, and the numbers do look good. So we're certainly not arguing that we shouldn't be returning to COVID level alert 2. But at the same time, parents are picking up the newspaper, they're watching the news, and they're seeing that the carrier risk that's occurring in other areas overseas, Australia, the UK and so on, is quite high, and that there are significant outbreaks in places like the States as well. So they're worried about that. They look at that and they say, well, you know, there but for the grace of God. So they're looking for
information. Well, it's a bit more with the grace of God. It's the result of 7 weeks nearly of lockdown that the numbers are this low. Are people influenced by what they're seeing overseas?
Yes, they are.
So is the communication of the government this afternoon and beyond quite important, do you think, whether or not it says get people back to school in early childhood or whether it says go if you want to, don't if you don't?
That's a difficult one. What I do think the communication needs to do is recognise some of the risks that are of concern to parents and give reassurance that because of the numbers, because of the testing, because of the cases that have been coming through, it's okay for you to bring your children back to ECE. So far, that communication hasn't recognised that risk. So parents are picking it up in the media, and they're not getting really any other message from government other than, we promise you it's okay.
How realistic now are the expectations of how centres will operate? I think you alluded earlier there's been some changes in the last few days because social distancing in toddlers is a bit of a challenge, right? So how realistic now is what is being, and staff for that matter, how realistic is what is now proposed for level two opening?
I think you've got two issues there. First of all, how realistic is it that services can reopen with additional hygiene and health and safety practices to ensure that children are safe? That's eminently realistic. We operate a very safe sector in the first place. There are additional precautionary measures and hygiene measures that have been put in place by most centres. So making sure that the physical environment is as safe as it possibly can be for children is not the issue. Whether staff are prepared to come back to work, that's a secondary issue. And we do support services to reach out and explore the ways that they can welcome their staff back, as well as welcoming children back. It's a change to come from what in some cases is 6 weeks' worth of lockdown to suddenly find that you can go back to work and be okay with it, to work through public transport issues and all the rest of it. So getting staff to a position where they feel confident is equally as important as making sure that children are safe coming back into a centre.
On the financial side of things, I'm sure some centres, many centres, will be having the same kind of cash flow and business planning conversations with their banks as any other business is. And is this where you come back to, could you please give us some clear direction as to what happens to funding after July?
Yes, if a centre's going to have a conversation with their bank manager, the bank manager won't want to know that everything's okay until July. They'll want to know that everything's okay for the next 12 months. So we need to get that sort of assurance from government, that clarity, so that people can plan effectively, they can have those conversations, and we can focus actually on the job at hand, which is providing a really good experience in early childhood education and care.
Thank you, Peter Reynolds from the Early Childhood Council.